learn how to build your faith on God's Word, and live a life of 100% victory 100% of the time. As you listen to the Senior Pastor, Davis Christian Center, Pastor Kingsley Okunkwo, and expect God's Word to work for you.
Please take your seats. We are going to run as fast as we can. Before we start, I want us to play a video because that will lay the foundation for what we are trying to do. Praise God. While they are doing that, some people didn't make yesterday's meeting. You missed. Hallelujah. We had an awesome time. Amaka, is there any way they are going to get the messages for yesterday? So please make sure you get the teaching for yesterday. It's very, very, very important. It's very important. There are some people I don't know, so just like yesterday.
Martyrs Free Church in Edinburgh, Part of the history of Christianity in Scotland. Today it's Frankenstein, which describes itself as both a family-friendly venue and a place for stag parties and Bart.
What happened?
Performers. And in Linares, Spain, the Church of Santa Barbara is now Chaos Temple, a skateboard park. But before you get angry with the owners of Frankenstein, understand that Europe today has more empty church buildings than it knows what to do with, because Europe is by and large no longer Christian.
These are the remnants of a lost civilization, Christian civilization. It was once at the very heart of European life and culture. Those days are long gone.
Among the British, belief in the Christian God has plummeted.
The trajectory is very clear. And something like 70-75% of British under 30s say they have no religion.
Theologian Stephen Bullivant, author of Mass Exodus, says Europe's move away from Christianity is accelerating.
People often ask me, especially in the Catholic Church, it's kind of, you know, what can we do to kind of bring everyone back, you know? And half serious, I always say, well, invest in time machine technology.
The data is clear. Christianity in Europe is dying.
Dr. Harvey Quiani, professor of African Christianity and theology at Liverpool Hope University, is from the Christian nation of Malawi. He says moving to what he calls Britain's pagan culture was a shock.
Growing up in Africa, growing up in Malawi, Christianity is exploding. The median age of an African Christian is 19. Coming to Europe, these are post-Christian people. They have moved away from Christianity. I teach students who would tell me I'm a third, fourth generation pagan in my family.
God is still moving in Europe, but the larger culture has been lost. And although some governments might still be officially Christian, they are now openly persecuting Christians.
What is hard for people in America to understand is that people in Great Britain really have no notion of what Christianity is.
Attorney Andrea Williams of Christian Concern in London spends much of her time defending clients like Christian doctor David McAreth, who, because of his Christian beliefs, refused to call a transgender man a woman and was fired.
In essence, I'm now being compelled to say things which I cannot say. But when I'm told to call a man a woman or call a woman a man, they're pushing my conscience where it cannot go, because I could not serve my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and do that.
It's the same story for Christians across Europe. In Finland, a Christian member of parliament faces possible prison time for simply tweeting Bible verses that condemn homosexuality. And Bullivant warns it will probably get worse as Europe returns to its pagan roots.
At the end of that road, culturally, I think, is probably 80-90%. No religion.
And so to convince them to pay attention to Christianity again is a challenge.
Only a radical revival can change that. But if we don't, then it's going to get darker yet.
There is hope for Europe, and it could be in something missions leaders call the blessed reflex. It was the prayer of early missionaries like William Carey and David Livingstone that one day the gospel would return from the mission fields of Africa and Asia to re-evangelize Europe. And there are signs the blessed reflex has already begun. Dale Hurd, CBN News, London.
All right. In case you didn't get the whole point of the video, what we are trying to show you is that just because there is a move of God in a place doesn't mean it's going to be sustained. All these places they were showing that have no knowledge of God today, there were places that the gospel was heavy at some point. In fact, it was from there that we heard the gospel, that missionaries came down here. But today, the average person there does not know about God and does not care and does not go to church. The point is that just because we have this great move of God in Nigeria today doesn't mean it's going to be sustained. All right, we have to be deliberate about keeping it sustained. We have to be deliberate about it. On Sunday, I was saying here on the Island Church that Satan uses both prosperity and poverty to keep people away from God and from the gospel. And, you know, hell is real. Hell is real. People are going to go to hell. You know, it's our responsibility. Some people think maybe God will do something special. No, he has called us to, he has given us the task. That's all he's going to do. He has assigned us to do it. That's what he's going to do. So, it's pretty bad, like you can see. Most of the churches, you know, I told them yesterday at the training that Turkey was one of the places where Apostle Paul did a lot of his missionary journeys and planted a lot of churches. Today, Turkey is a Muslim nation altogether. It's a Muslim nation, so you should know what I'm saying. And it's not difficult to turn a Christian nation to a Muslim nation. It's not difficult. Europe is going to soon be a Muslim community. The whole of Europe is going to be a Muslim community. You can see the churches being emptied out. It's going to be a Muslim community. Because they are doing everything wrong and the Muslims are doing everything right. Most of the people that are, in quote, Christians there or general people there, they are either not getting married or they are promoting homosexuality. You can see that somebody that refused to call somebody, they will sue you. So homosexuality is growing faster there, which means that they will not procreate. That's what it means. I remember one of the reasons for marriage, God says to raise a godly seed. So if they are not getting married or they are not having children, they are not raising the godly seed. Then even the ones that get married are having just one child. On the other hand, the Muslims are marrying many wives. They're having unlimited kids, 5, 6, 7. Muslims know from beginning that part of the way they evangelize is by having children. And anything, if you know anything about politics, politics is a game of numbers. That's all it is. It's not magic. If we have more people, we have more votes. It's as simple as that. I don't know whether he's still the mayor of London, but the current or last mayor of London was a Muslim. I don't know why he's the same guy that's still there. That's just how simple it is to turn the whole of London, or I mean UK or Europe, to a Muslim nation. So if you, those of you that have lived in London, or I mean in UK or anywhere, you know that there are a large number of those Arabs there now, and they buy up everything. Of course, clubs like my club, Man City, is owned by Arabs, and the stadium is Etihad Stadium. You don't know what that means. They are buying up everywhere. So soon, they can even change the name of UK. That's what will happen. It's as simple as that. Those of you in business, you understand what it means when you buy shares. When somebody buys more shares than every other person, he can do anything with the company. It's as simple as that. Do you understand somebody? So Europe is going to be a Muslim nation, except of course the revival gets there. If not, the data is as clear as daylight. It's as clear as daylight. If it happened in Turkey, it can happen anywhere. Praise God. So we're hoping that some of this mass exodus from Nigeria and all that, all those other places, will also go and set up churches and build the kingdom. They will not just go and be focused on eating and surviving. That's part of what kills the revival. When you focus on just your own generation. I just want to survive. I just want to have a house and die. That's not meeting the full agenda of God. Just taking care of your needs is too small a reason to be alive. It's too small a reason to be what? Alive. So I'm just trying to remind you that what you are doing is not a joke. What we are doing is not just, you know, it's not just church. We're passing a baton. We are building a culture. We are building a movement, because it's important. Why these people got this way was that somewhere along the line, somebody dropped the baton. Somebody didn't pass the baton to the next generation. Somebody was too focused on something else. I don't know what it was. Somebody was too focused on something else that he did not pass the revival. He did not sustain the revival. Because they were once heavy in spiritual things. But why did it not pass? The heavy churches are empty. They have been sold to circus people and to all kinds of things. In fact, Muslims, mosques, I've been buying some of them. Some of them are used for nightclub, where once the gospel was being preached. Can you picture that this hall one day will be Columbia nightclub? Is somebody getting what I'm saying? And they won't know that many people once got saved here. Many people once got healed here. Many people once met God here. They won't know that. So that's why you need to understand that what we're doing is not a joke. When you give your time and your money and everything you're doing, it's not a joke. Trust me. It will matter many, many, many years after you leave. All your survival moves will matter after you're gone. All your stress just to survive won't matter. But the things you do for the kingdom will matter. Hallelujah. So please know that you're not wasting your time. You're not wasting your time. You're not wasting your effort. We need to keep reminding ourselves that this is important. What we are doing is important. We need to keep balancing, the need to survive with the vision that we have. Praise God. Anybody that is not working, all those people at the back, if you're not doing any work there, come and sit down with us. Everybody. Amaka, I shouldn't be telling you these things now. Come and sit down. This is a meeting. You're not leading today. You are listening today. Mark, is that Neka? Why is it in there? Is there something happening in that place? Come now. Your leg. Okay, I forgive you for that reason. But the rest of you, join. Okay. I'm going to run through a few things on leadership, then I'll also run through a few things on culture. So I'll be as fast as I can, and we'll also be able to take some questions. So what is leadership? What is leadership? All of you here are supposed to be leaders. So what is leadership? What is leadership? I need to understand the importance of leadership. Everything rises and falls on leadership. Everything rises and falls on leadership. If something is going right, it's the leader's fault. If something is going bad, it's the leader's fault. Is somebody get what I'm saying? Everything rises and falls on what? Leadership. It's your fault. If it's working, it's your fault. If it's not working, it's your fault. And I don't want you to belittle the place of leadership. The whole of Africa is held down by leadership. Till tomorrow. The whole of Africa. I don't know how many people are in Africa. Those of you that do geography and all those. What's the population of Africa? Do we know? 1.4 billion? Something ridiculous like that. That whole mass of people is stranded to today because we don't still have leadership rights. We've not mastered it. We are usually more gifted even than the rest of the world. We have more vibrancy, more ruggedity. We have many things going for us except leadership, and it has a way of just trumping everything we are doing. Doesn't matter how hard we work. Doesn't matter the resources we have. We have all kinds of resources in Africa. I mean, natural resources. It doesn't matter. So don't commonize what you are doing here today. Don't commonize the position you carry. If you are in any position of leadership, it's a rare opportunity. Africa is people are worried about coronavirus. It's a small virus compared to the leadership virus we're dealing with. Our bad leadership is killing more people than coronavirus. How many people have died in coronavirus? Call coronavirus knee. Doesn't kill anybody compared to the people of our own. Go yesterday, somebody still died in Lut for nothing. Go and check. You say coronavirus. You have not seen revirus. People are dying more here for more important things. Porto is seeking somebody. It rained yesterday. Some Porto was seeking somebody yesterday. SARS must have shot somebody yesterday for nothing. I'm talking about the coronavirus. I'm not bothered about those. Those things don't bother me. Those things don't bother me. The ones who can't do anything about coronavirus, I mean, I can't, I'm existing. Can't kid about it. Can't do anything. But leadership, that one is somebody just harming all of us. Somebody get what I'm saying, sir? I need to understand that your position is important. Don't look at what you do. You know, don't just come here like they dragged you here. Thank you. Don't just come here like they dragged you here. The position you're occupying is vital to a lot of people and to a lot of things.
You are more important than coronavirus. The world is paying great attention to coronavirus. You are more important. A leader is more important. Hallelujah. A leader is more important. That decisiveness, that smartness, that wisdom that a leader has, it's phenomenal. You are important. Let me tap your neighbor so you are important. If I tell him you are very important. Very. I wish there could be more leaders. Everything rises and falls on leadership. Every team is performing to the extent of knowledge that the leader has. If we can get more leaders, we will achieve more as a people. And for Africa, it's a major need. It's a major need. And for me, you know, my wife always tells me that, for me, leadership comes normal. I'm like, why don't people understand this thing? It's easy. That's why I'm not great at teaching people leadership. Because I just feel this thing is easy now. Do you need to, you don't understand it. But apparently, it's not as easy for many people to grasp. I'll run through 7 things for you that I think are very important in leadership. Of course, leadership is not an exhaustible thing that you can finish in one day. But we'll keep adding, you know, one step at a time. So I'm going to run through 7 for you quickly today. Then I'll deal with culture too on the other side. But what is leadership? Leadership is simply influencing people to achieve a worthwhile goal. So that's just it. I like simplicity, so no need to give you one ambiguous definition. Leadership is simply what? Influencing people to achieve a worthwhile goal. So if only you do something, it's not yet leadership. That's achievement, but that's not leadership. It's leadership when you influence people, when you get people to do it with you. By the way, Steve, I need to see you. So after the meeting. Where's Amazing? You didn't come yesterday. So leadership is not achievement. So if you go to school, get a master's degree, get whatever, you're, that's not leadership. That's our personal achievement. We clap, we appreciate you. But that's not what we're talking about. Leadership is influencing people. So you must be able to carry people along. If you are walking alone and nobody's following you, if you are going and nobody's following you, you are taking a walk, like they say. If you are going and nobody's following you, you are taking what? A walk. That's not leadership. In leadership, people must be influenced. That's one. Secondly, it must be a worthwhile goal, because you can influence people to do rubbish. We see a lot of our artists and code doing that. They influence people to do rubbish. That's not leadership. Adolf Hitler influenced the whole of Germany to take over the world. That's not really leadership. That's not what we're trying to do. Praise God. So again, leadership is influencing people to achieve what? Can we say 3 times? 1, 2, go. Second. Last one. So we must influence people. Crucial. That's what leadership is about. Influencing people. So 7 things about leadership that you need to know quickly. I need water while I'm at it. Number 1. If you're going to be a great leader, you must have clarity. 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 Clarity answers the question of how well do I see what we are trying to achieve? How well do I see it? How well do I see? That's the question that clarity answers. How well do I see? Clarity. For you to be an effective leader, you must have clarity. You must be able to see. Like they say in the country of the blind, the one-eyed man is the king. Why is he the king? Because he's the only one that can see. Leadership is about seeing. What is the vision you are trying to achieve? What are you trying to achieve? It has to be clear. If it's not clear, there's no need for us to start. If it's not clear, you will not be able to carry out the other principles or points I'm going to list. Because clarity is the beginning of everything. What am I trying to achieve? Clarity. So it starts by you knowing what the whole house, DCC, is trying to achieve, then what is your department trying to achieve inside that vision? or your group. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? I'll say that again. When we're talking about clarity, it ties to two things. Number one, what is DCC trying to achieve? Then what is my department or group trying to achieve inside that vision also? But you as the leader needs to be clear. If you don't get it, then the areas you need to change your methods, you won't even know. The areas you need to change your strategy. You even know when you're no longer effective in what you're doing. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? You knowing what you're trying to do as a house and what you are trying to do as a group in that other big vision makes a great difference. I've shared the story about the guy that went to a building site and saw a laborer carrying block from outside to bring to the guys laying it inside. And they asked the guy, "What are you guys doing?" He said, "I'm carrying block from outside to bring it on the inside." But when they asked the architect and the builder there, "What are you doing?" He said, "We're building a so-and-so skyscraper that we have so-and-so, that we have so-and-so, that we have space for so-and-so." One had a bigger and clearer picture of what they were doing. The other one just had a short-term vision of bringing block from outside. So as a leader, no matter the level you are, yes, you understand that you are bringing blocks from here, but you also need to understand the bigger picture. Clarity. What are we doing as DCC? That's why I had to show you this video. If you don't understand things like this, you'll think we're just gathering every Sunday. What are we doing? You could as well be sleeping at home. But you need to understand that if you're like one of my mentors said, I love this so much. He preached a message on evangelism. It was powerful. He said, one of the examples he gave, he said, if you're driving past and your neighbor's house is burning, refire, you won't just drive past and say, "I hope they are seeing this fire." You won't drive past and say, "Somebody else will tell them." You won't drive past and say, "Ah, it's ordinary fire." If you see that, you will quickly swing to action. Am I correct? You either go and check who is there. You either call for help. You either call, do something. That's how it is. Some of your neighbors are actually on fire, literally. They are very close to hell. But you are not moved. You are not touched. You see, if you don't understand the vision of why we do this every Sunday, it will look like we're just gathering every Sunday to have fun, to have church. That's not why we're here. If you don't understand that, you will get quickly distracted, get quickly disillusioned, get quickly tired. That is church every day. No, it's not church every day. We're keeping the momentum going. We're getting souls saved. We're training and equipping these souls to go back and win more souls. Because these things need to be done before we become like this. Like the video we watched. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Clarity. Jesus was always clear about the vision and the mission. He said, "The Son of Man have come to seek and to save the lost." If your vision is clear, you're able to say it in a simple sentence. If you need to talk very long to share the vision, then you don't yet understand it. One of the ways we know you understand the vision is that I can say it in one sentence. Jesus said it, "The Son of Man," look at this, "is come to what? To seek and to what? Save that which was lost." Simple. I mean, one sentence. One sentence. "Son of Man have come for one reason, to seek and to save those who are lost." Your vision must be that clear. You must understand the different aspects of that vision. Must be able to articulate it. Why are we here? What are we trying to do? What's the vision of DCC? In DCC, we believe that a life that has God actively in it gives birth to victory. It's as simple as that. We understand that a connection with God will naturally birth a life of victory. 100% victory, 100% of the time. We believe so, absolutely. We believe that if you have a real, meaningful connection and relationship with God, it will birth victory in your life. You need to know it that well. You need to know it that you can say it in many ways and still say the same thing because you have brooded on it. You understand it in every fabric of your blood. That's why we are here. We know that the most important thing is that relationship with God, and it will birth a life of victory. Victory over anything you need victory over. And if David never lost the battles, that's how God works with us. God bats victory in us. So when you understand that, you now say, okay, I'm in the choir. What is my vision as this choir? What is our vision? What are we trying to do? I'm in the drama unit. What are we trying to do? It must be clear. Clarity is too crucial. I can't even move on to the next point until we deal with this clarity issue well. If you don't have clarity, if you can't see, how well do you see what you're trying to do? How well do you see it? If not, you'll just be singing in the choir. Say, we're just singing. No! We're using music to connect people to God so that they will still have a life of victory. We're just using music. Clarity. The guys that do our videos that we put on Instagram, one of the guys had to send him a guideline of how every video must be. Where is he? Is he here? Kendricks, are you here? Do you remember the 40 things I sent you? Come and say it. God will judge you today. If you're a joker, you will know. You know it by heart. Or you want to check it on your phone?
I know.
You know them by heart. Ah, these boys, have you? Oh, yeah.
Our videos must convey the truth. Our videos must have quality, must be entertaining, and it must propel people to always want to get the message.
He's a good boy. He's trying. You see, because if I didn't do that, they were just giving me random videos. You see, no. There are parameters to it. Number one, we have to be conveying a major truth. That's the major concept we want to teach. A major truth. Number two, let it be entertaining. Because we're dealing with a generation that likes entertainment. That's why most people do everything by skits today. Most companies advertise by skits today. So my job is not to change everybody's mind that, hey, don't follow skits. They do normal advert. Way, ba-ba-ba. My own generation. You know, people have moved beyond that now. So I said, let the video be entertaining. Don't just give me a video that just saying truth like an old man. Don't fornicate. People have heard that a million times. Nobody's going to pay attention. In the game of media, attention is key. Keeping attention is the issue. If somebody gets what I'm saying? I'm just using this as an example to know that nothing just happens. Many people just think things are happening. Even you, there are people working on you. You don't just know they're working on you. Everything they're showing you on TV is programming you. You're just not aware. But they must be aware. If they're going to spend billions and billions of dollars to run that TV program, they can't be doing it for nothing. They are programming you to achieve an end. That's clarity and that's vision and that's how it works. You know what you're trying to do. Are you getting what I'm saying? So sometimes when they send me a video, I'll say, go and check this video. Does it meet the four criteria I gave you? They'll say, hey, not quite. I said, then go and adjust it. Somebody getting what I'm saying? What are you trying to achieve? You are in discovery class. You need to be clear. You guys need to sit down and coin out what you're trying to achieve. Get clarity. Be able to say it in many ways. Then deploy it. Don't even start without a clear vision. There must be a clear vision. What are you trying to achieve? This is how to be a great leader. Knowing what you're trying to achieve. That's what puts you ahead. Leadership means... It's actually a doing word. It means you are the person in front. You are the person ahead. The person in front or ahead has to know what we are all here to do. He can't be asking, what are we here to do? If the person in front is asking what we are here to do, then we have all missed it. Nobody's going to last. You can't lead. You need to know before you come that this is what we are trying to do. Everybody's asking, what are we here to do? You, the leader, can't be asking that question. You must know what we are here to do. Protocol, guest services, what is the vision? To carry the agents of victory in a convenient and classy way that they can deliver the message of victory. I'm just saying, you don't have to copy it though. The point is that you need to know what you're trying to do. You need to know what you're trying to do. It's easier to run, when you're running a large organization or a large group of people, it's easier to run by vision than by sentiments. That's why I had to give those guys vision of what the video should be. I can't be helping them choose a video every day. If I don't give them parameters, then I have to be there with them every day to choose what's a good video. But if I give them parameters, they're on their own. Any day if I'm not there, they can say, does this meet our criteria? I don't know if you're getting what I'm saying. So these things come very easy for me. So my wife always tells me, is it difficult? I don't usually like to invest time teaching people. I just think it's easy now. But you know, sometimes when something comes natural to you, you just assume it comes. So it's like women that can cook. Just say, you know, yeah, just boil the rice, just cut the onion, just that thing where they talk like that. Many people have killed many people with poison trying to do that thing just like that. But it just comes easy to you. Just say, this cloth, you can still wear this cloth to the patio. Just tie this place, go this place, put this ribbon, put this. Some people have tried that thing and they turn to a gungun. Going to the express. Praise God. But somebody else will just pull her rag, things that look like rags, package it the way she will suddenly look good. Because it's a flair that comes to you naturally. So for those of you that have those kind of gifts and flares, you must package it in a way that a novice can also get almost the same results without you being there all the time. So those of you that are very gifted in your departments, if nobody is catching closely with you, you have to do more in teaching and giving them clarity so they can produce almost, if not up to, the same level that you do. Somebody get what I'm saying? So that's what usually happens when you see in a group, maybe a choir or whatever, only one person is the only singer. No other person is being developed. It's because that person is operating more of their natural gift and they can't teach or pass the principles to every other person. Clarity. You must know it like you know your name. You must know it like you know your name. Okay? Number two. Number two is competence. Competence. It answers the question, how equipped are you? Number one, clarity answers the question, how well do you see? Number two, competence answers the question, how equipped are you? For number one, clarity, how well do you see? When you see what you're trying to do, it gives you the flexibility of always changing your methods. Have you ever met people that have not changed the way they are doing something for many years? Those are people that have stuck with what they were told many years ago. They never understood it. So they didn't know when it was time to change the strategy to achieving the same goal. I'll give you an example of the power of vision. It's a popular story, you must have heard it. That there's one particular barracks in America, I believe, where there's a soldier that stands to guard the pavement. Soldier stands there every day to guard the pavement. So they post soldiers there every day, you know. So there's always soldiers guarding the pavement. So one day, a new commandant of the barracks came and he said, why do we always have a soldier on this pavement? Everybody said, we don't know. But for many years, we have been posting a soldier there. Until they investigated, they found out that there was a time they paved that road and people were always stepping on it and putting imprint on it. And they said, we have to put a soldier there to let people know this thing is not dry. Don't step on it. But the thing has been dry now many years ago. And they are still posting soldiers there. That's what happens when you don't really understand the reason why they posted the first soldier there. So you couldn't tell that we are done. You are still operating. Post a soldier there. Are you standing there? Stand well. This pavement must be guarded. And you don't understand why we are guarding the pavement. If you don't understand it, that's why you can be in meters and greeters. And you don't understand what you're doing. You can be the guy opening the door, and you don't understand when to allow somebody to go out, and when not to allow somebody to go out. Because they've told you, this door, don't ever open it. Then the woman is pregnant, heavily pregnant, needs to go and use the bathroom. And say, no! This door! They said, don't open it. You need to understand why are we not opening it. Because there are some cases where, even though we don't want to open it, we should open it. And you should be the man there telling us, sir, we should open this thing. But you can't give your boss that feedback if you don't first understand why he gave you the instruction. Because you are the guy on the field. The other person will say, we can achieve what we're trying to do, even in a better way. I understand what you're trying to achieve, sir. But now, because I'm the one closer to this thing, I think we can even get a better result with a new way. But many people can't give their bosses that feedback because they're just like robots. They've never really understood. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? So that clarity helps you be able to make the necessary adjustments. Let's change how we do it. If you understand how we do it, then you can quickly bring advice, bring ideas. You can know that this is no longer effective. It's no longer achieving what we are trying to do. It's no longer achieving it. Let's change it. Hallelujah. So clarity. And number two is what? Competence. How equipped are you? Listen, you can't lead if you are not competent. Like I said yesterday, positional leadership is one of the least levels of leadership. That is where you lead, where you want to lead people because you are the one that has the title HOD. You are the one that has the title music director. You are the one that has the title head of department. You are the one that has the title minister, the title pastor, the title leader. And that's the only reason you want to lead people. It will never work. You won't go far. You lead because you are competent, not because you were given a position. In Africa, we largely want to lead by position. Either position of birth. That's age. Do you know my age? It's an African problem. Countries are like that. You know, they don't develop quickly. Because the older must be there, even though he doesn't have any sense. He doesn't even know the thing. But say, do you know my age? I senior you. How competent are you? So competence answers the question, how equipped are you? What skills do you need? What skills do you need to lead the group? What skills do you need? If you're a choir director or choir headmistress or anything, who can tell us what skills do the person need? I'm coming to you. No, I'm coming to you. And you're just shrugging your face. It doesn't change you. I'm not afraid. I will still come. What skills does the person need? Help me, anybody? Yeah? She must have ear for music, have you? She must appreciate music. Even if you can't sing. You must know that this one is off key. This one is on key. If you can't even know that. Before you know it, people will start telling you what to do. And there will be confusion. Somebody gets what I'm saying? It's a competence issue. What department are you in? Comfort, yes. You're one of the leaders there. What skills will somebody in your department need? Somebody that leads in your department need? What skills? Must be friendly. Okay. I forgive you. It's okay. Sweetheart, what's your name? Yes, you. Joyce, what department are you? Meters and greeters. What skill? Will somebody in your department, is your department need? Have a welcoming smile. People are trying. Which department are you in? Preserve generation. What skill? Also to relate to children. Okay, sit down. Most of these skills are great because they are more about your department, but you also need leadership skills. There are some skills that are more leadership than necessarily participatory skills. Most of what you are mentioning is what you need to be in the department, which is great because you also need that, but you also need competence in other areas beyond that also, but they are both part of it. So it answers the question, how equipped are you? And you see, the thing about the necessary skills is that they don't just happen. What most human beings do is that they live their lives just by the skills that come natural to them. I don't know if you're getting what I'm saying. This is what affects a lot of people in life, guys. Many people try to live by the skills that come natural to them, and they run away from the skills they need to learn because they're lazy. Are you getting what I'm saying? So most artists, for instance, they just want to develop their music skill. They don't want to develop their financial management skill. They don't want to develop their talent management skill. Because it's a different skill. I can sing and I'm managing my career is different. I don't know if somebody gets what I'm saying. Most people want to do the thing that comes natural to them. They don't want to build competence in other areas that doesn't come natural. And really, your success is largely dependent on those other areas that you develop. That's what gives you an edge over every other person that has the gift with you. Do you understand what I'm saying? If both of us can sing, my edge will be other things I have apart from singing that will make me better than you. If not, both of us are just singers. Competence. So what quality? If you are in charge or a leader of something in that regard, you need to get more and more and more knowledge about that particular area. The issue of competence. The issue of competence. Jesus was a preacher. One of the things that are important for him as a preacher is to have a very good knowledge of the Word of God. So from at the age 12 or thereabout, he was staying at the temple for long periods of times with Pharisees. The Bible says he was asking them questions and debating with them scriptures so that he would know the Bible better. For his own job, a vast and strong knowledge of the Word of God was very important. Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Having fresh unction, developing the Spirit of God upon your life is a very important gift or assignment for a pastor. So the question is now, you as a leader in church, you also need the anointing. So how much work are you putting? If you're the leader and your prayer life is the least there, you will not be able to, you won't have the competence to lead. If you're a leader and you two also, because we're in church, you two don't know the Word of God, you lose competence. If you're a leader and you don't understand how to flow with people, you will not be effective. If you're a leader and you don't understand why we're even, you don't have a passion for the lost. You just have passion for clothes. You don't have passion for the lost. That means you don't even understand the underlying thing that is driving all of us. Somebody getting what I'm saying? So what skills do you need? Because those things won't just happen. The issue of competence must be settled. You are in charge of projector. What skills do you need? You must be very good. You go and research. It's not the day we're doing service. Say, oh, this is not working. Go and research. Go and troubleshoot. Go and find out all the things that could possibly go wrong. Start preparing. You know, when you come to meetings and there's a way you talk, people will follow the guy that knows more than everybody. When you come for a meeting and you now talk, they'll know you have researched. You have prepared. You didn't just come here, you know, guessing and hoping it will work. You have gone to research. Why can't we change from here to here quickly? Though there's a machine people use out there. And there's everything available online. Now you can search any information online today. So to be ignorant is not forgivable. Are there better ways people are doing this thing I'm trying to do anywhere in the world? If there are people doing it better, well, how come I can't duplicate what they're doing? Competence. Number one, clarity. Number two, competence. You must be the guy that knows what to do. You must be the guy. People follow the person that knows what to do. People naturally follow the person that knows what to do. You see, when people like Lionel Messi or Ronaldo enters a team, they naturally flow to leadership of the team. No matter how, whether they're the last to come. Because they are competent. Are you getting what I'm saying? There's a way competence makes people follow you. You must be competent. You can't be the weakest link and be the leader. And being competent is not going to fall on you. You have to work on it. If you're in photography, then you have to be competent. You have to know the new ways. People are taking better pictures now. You can't be the one asking people, so what can we do? Is somebody getting what I'm saying? As a leader, you can't be one bringing questions. You are the one supposed to be bringing answers. How can we now, leader? You must bring in answers. Even if you're asking questions, you already should have an answer in your heart. That's what Jesus always did. Whenever he asked a question, he had an answer already. He said he asked them to see what they would do. That he already knew himself knew what he would do. He said, Philip, can we feed these 5,000 people? And they began to say, hey, where are we going to see the bread to buy? And even if we see bread to buy, where are we going to get money to pay for the bread? You see, they were panicking, and he gave them answer. That's why he was their leader. If he just said, hey, it's true, Philip, we are finished. When you say that, you are not the leader. When you are the leader, you must know. You must have researched. You must have studied. You must have found out. How can it be done better? Very important. Number three, confidence. Confidence. These two things I mentioned naturally give back to number three. Number one and two, clarity and competence gives back to confidence. Many people say, I'm not confident. No, what you happens is that you don't have clarity and you don't have competence. Confidence doesn't operate on it by itself. It's a natural offshoot of the first two. Clarity answers the question of how well do I see what we're trying to do? Competence answers the question of how equipped am I for what we're trying to do? Confidence answers the question of how ready do I look for what we're trying to do? Confidence, because it's contagious. It inspires us. It inspires us. How ready are you, and how ready do you look for what you're trying to do? There's something about confidence that inspires other people to follow. If you talk and you talk in an unsure way, nobody will follow. When you hear Mandela's give speech, when you hear the Martin Luther King give speech, one of the things you will see in their speeches is that they are very confident of what we are here to do. They can't be saying, one day I have a dream. I don't even know if it's a dream. I am hoping, I'm praying that one day, hey, maybe we have black people and white. You say it's not even possible. That's the leader. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. You have to be confident. And you can't fake confidence. Can't fake it. It has to come from clarity. You've taken time to see that dream. Competence, you have built the necessary skill. And then you tell people, let's go do this. And they follow you because you look like you are serious. You look like it. You look like somebody I can follow. I don't know where I'm going, but do you, as long as you know where you are going, let me follow you. Didn't you see how Jesus used to carry people? He looked at Peter that had business. He said, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And they said the Bible, they left their father. Maybe their father was very unsure. This fishing business, you know, last night we toiled all night and caught nothing. This fishing business, we don't know where it's going. If you talk like that, you are not inspiring confidence. No matter the project, talk confidently. Speak confidently. You must always be confident of where you're going. As a leader, you can't be unsure. You can't be unsure. Take time to be sure before you come and talk. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Take time to be sure. You can't be unsure. All the great leaders, one thing you see about them is confidence. You know, America, they are doing primaries for their elections. And there were many people in the, is it Democratic Party now? No. Yes. It's the Democratic Party. So they were doing their primaries for presidential aspirants. And many people came. And they were all talking. And all of us know that these people can't, they're not even going to go far. But you see, those people can't come there and say, well, I know I'm not likely to win, but support me. Really? Who is going to support you when you talk like that? Only your family members. Because those people give them a lot of money. Those people raise millions of dollars. You can come and say, even though you are the underdog, there are many other big people. Some of these people, I mean, they can't even win a local government election. They have nobody. But when they come on that stage, they say, America is going to be great again. We are going to take this mandate. We are going to win this. Then they know from home. And they can't win nothing. So now that the votes are coming out, they are all backing down. But that time, a few months ago, they were talking like they were going to win. They were going everywhere and meeting people and challenging people. I said, we're going to do it. Let's do it together. Hey! They're not doing nothing. You can't appear to lack confidence. You can't appear not to know what you're doing at all times. You must always know what you're doing. And you're not faking it. There must be competence. You as a leader, do you hear God? Do you pray? Do you study the word? How competent are you? Do you actually know about that department? Do you actually know how it affects the church? If you are not competent, you can't be confident. They go together. You can't fake it. So there must be clarity. There must be competence. It gives back to what? Confidence. Nobody will follow if you're not. You can have clarity and have competence. If you don't let it come back to confidence, nobody will follow you. It's part of what happens in Nigeria. We actually have people that are better than all the people that are leading us, but they can't inspire people. They're actually knowledgeable, they can't inspire people. They know it. Haven't you seen in your school those days, there are people that are actually very brilliant, but they couldn't talk. They could actually let people know that they are brilliant. Then somebody else doesn't know it so well, but he can talk. He will just bamboozle all of us. Didn't you see American president? He was saying coronavirus is a flu. It will soon go. They call him and say, my brother, no. He come back and say, okay, it's not just a flu now. There will be a small travel ban just to Europe. They call him again and say, come. It's not that type. So he came yesterday again and said, state of emergency. He doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't. He don't come out, but he says everything he says confidently. Even when it's rubbish. Go and check. He says it confidently. So he gets more results than the guy that knows. But comes to talk like this. I know, but I don't want to disturb anybody. Nobody's going to follow you. Nobody's going to follow you. Disturb them, because what you are talking about is worth disturbing for. Because all the places you are saying people are not willing to make sacrifices, those people, same people are making sacrifices somewhere else more than what they're doing. They are paying a heavy price to do something that is useless. When you were in the world, you go to nightclub, you do night vigil. Now you are inviting the same person in church to come for night vigil, say he can't come. You have not made him see how important it is. The devil made him see how important coming to a nightclub was. And he prepares by himself. He spends his own money. He pays to come. Now, we're doing a church meeting that involves payment. The guy is dragging leg. He doesn't get it yet. He can pay. He will pay for other things. If you see how some people defend village meeting, they fight and break bottle. There's no vision to it. That same person can be very useful. If you let him see how important what you're telling him is. So confidence is crucial. How ready do you look? And how ready you are is contagious. Number four, let me move as fast as I can. Commitment is number four. Commitment. It answers the question, how much can you give and give up for the dream? That's what commitment answers. How much can you give, and how much can you give up for the dream? What you give is what you give. What you give up is what you do without because of this dream. Commitment. You can't be a leader without being the most committed in the group. Do you know why Christianity is still strong in many parts of the world? Our founder paid the ultimate price. His commitment cannot be rivaled. So he has set a bar that we all keep striving for. So it's easy for him to ask you for anything, because what he gave is higher. You become weak to ask people for service when you yourself are not putting in the service. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? You can't lead if you're not making sacrifices. The Mandelas of this world gave up their whole lives to stay in prison. So they became global leaders instantly. Martin Luther King gave up his life. Most of those guys knew they were going to die. Mandela didn't know he was going to come out as president. He had already, made up his mind to die. That's how to lead. So how much can you give? If you are the leader and we are doing projects, you can't even give. You can't lead. You are raising money in your department, you can't give. You can't sacrifice. Then you can't lead anybody to sacrifice. But if you sacrifice, you can ask anybody to sacrifice anything. You're not afraid. There's nothing you want to give in terms of money or property to this church that will scare me. I've given all. I've given land. I've given car. I've given money. So anyone you're giving, you are my junior. I will just welcome you. I won't be tripped. This project we did, there are people that gave their cars. I didn't pity them. I've given my own car too before. Some gave their land. I said, welcome. I've given land before. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. But if you are not giving them, you say, hey, you can't even challenge people because you're afraid. Hey, we're all trying to survive. That's not what we're all trying to do. And if you get what I'm saying, sir. I've emptied my account many times. So if you come and share with me, I've emptied my account, I say, welcome. Now you're catching it. I know someone's getting what I'm saying. Commitment. How much can you give and how much can you give up for this dream? What kind of sacrifices can you make? What kind of sacrifice are you willing to make? Those that came yesterday was a work day. Many people came for that training. That's how to be a leader. We're just trying to train you to understand how leadership works. You can't love your life so much. That's what Jesus Christ said. If you love your life, you will lose it. If you lose your life, then you will gain it. That's what Jesus said. Commitment. How much can you give up? How much can you give up? Sacrifices. You will stay up all night working in that department. You stay up. I mean, you go to work and still come for a department meeting. You those in the choir, for instance, they do the rehearsal like 2 or 3 times a week. And still have to attend service, all of us attend. That's sacrifice. That's how to do it. You will show it can be done. And listen, when we're talking about commitment, don't confuse it with feeling. Many times you will even feel like. That's what makes it commitment. That I don't feel like, but I'm still doing it with passion. I'm not doing it with a lackadaisical, pity for me, sorry for me attitude. I'm doing it with excitement. I'm doing it like it's not even costing me anything, even though it's costing me everything. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? You're doing it with passion. Doing it with it. You don't even need encouragement. You're doing it passionately. But you don't feel like all the time. You don't feel like all the time. Many people left their jobs to be at that meeting yesterday. Pastor Yeomi stays in, he works in Chevron. Chevron is down here in Lekki Axis, for those that don't know. He also lives in that axis. He went to work, came to mainland to attend the main session, and also went back for that meeting in Lekki by 3. All in that one day. If you know anything about Lagos traffic, you should know that they should give him a medal. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. But there are people that were close by or they couldn't make it. They put that their office is even in VI proper. His office is in Lekki. You have to press pass VI to reach Lekki. He came and came back. That's why he's the pastor. And he will be encouraging people to be ready to do that kind of sacrifice. Yeah. Yeah. It's not easy. It's dying for people that don't send you easy. Which excuse do you want to give Jesus Christ? I can't leave. Not this job. I'm protecting my job. They are talking about killing yourself. They are talking about job. If you die, will you have job? Jesus died. He didn't die for his own sin. He died for sin of people that don't even send him. If people are clapping for yourself and elect you to come and die for them, it's even something of pride. And they are singing for you. Drummers are following you. Gang, 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 gang. They are dancing. He's going to die for us. Listen, and they're running commentary. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Jesus coming out in the white robe. Greeting fans. He's greeting all his fans. He's greeting his fans everywhere. He's greeting fans. He's going to die. Ladies and gentlemen. Is that not a position to do it? He's going to die, ladies and gentlemen. See him hugging his mother. Hey, you know, and he's talking to her. He said, John, behold your mother. Mother, behold John. Hey. It would have been nice. No. The people he was dying for saw no value in what he was doing or who he was. They were insulting him. They were flogging him. They were spitting on him. They were saying, no, go better for you. And he died. You die here, self. You were never even born when he died for you. That he didn't even know whether you were appreciated or not. He just died for you in advance. The work you are going for is for your salary. The work you are going, you are saying, I'm suffering Lagos. It's for you do it. Vex are not gone. So you've not done anything. I'm not sure that work, you've not sacrificed anybody. It's for yourself. Say, it's for me and my children. No, now my children are going to sacrifice for you. Now you don't want them. You've not done nothing. If it's just you and your children are living for, zero. You scored zero. You've scored minus. You've not helped anybody. Jesus died for people that didn't know him, didn't care, didn't send him. He died for them anyway, hoping that one day they will get it. Thank God we get it. Somebody get what I'm saying? Yes, commitment. What are you willing to give? And give up. You don't want to stress yourself. You don't want to spend your money. You don't want to sacrifice. Are you joking? You can't be the leader if you're not ready to sacrifice. You can't be doing a project and you're not giving the highest in your department. You're not ready. Hallelujah. For many years in this church, in any project we do, I'm the one that gives the highest for many years. Give the highest in millions. I was the first person in this church to sow 5 million naira in one seed. And there were millionaires in the church. After I sold it, I'm sure maybe shame caught them. A few of them now dropped for 5 million. I don't know if it's shame, but I'm the first to do it. And they had more money than me, way more money than me. But I had more commitment than them. That's why I'm the leader. If they have more commitment than me, then there's a problem. Somebody get what I'm saying? Leadership is not title. It's by being in front. Leadership means you are in front. Leadership means what? You are in front. So when they call for anything, you are the first to do it. You are in front. Because you can't lead anybody if you're not in front. If your own prayer life is the lowest, you can't lead anybody there. If your own word life, study life is the lowest, you can't lead them. Leadership is not title. It's not the title they gave you. The day they appoint you HOD is not there you become a leader. You become a leader, there you go in front. I get what I'm saying? Day they ordain you HOD is not the day you become a leader. Day they ordain you minister is not the day you become a leader. You become a leader the day you go in front. They can give you any title in this world and nobody will follow you. We had one cell leader one time. Those were doing, when we were doing Connect group before. They put a Connect in him in charge of a Connect. We asked him, what's the attendance for this week? He said, no, nobody came. In his mind, he thinks people just come to church because we put now open. And people just start coming from by themselves. You're not leading them. You're not leading them. Number what? 5. So number 1 is what? What question does he answer? How well do I see? Number 2 is what? What question does he answer? How keep am I? Number 3 is what? What question does he answer? How ready do I look? How ready do I look? How ready am I? And how ready do I look? How ready am I? There's just something about being ready. Something about being ready. Just gingers everybody and gingers everything. Being ready. Number 4 was what? Commitment. What question does he answer? Yes, how much can you give and how much can you give up? Can you sacrifice your TV time to go for a vigil or to be alert in church? Because some of you play all night, you come and sleep in the morning, dream. Please check your neighbor if he's awake. Tap him, check. Are you okay? Tap him. Tap your neighbor. Don't be afraid. I'm here. Because some people are nodding. It shows they didn't sleep at 9. It's part of what you give up. When you know you have a meeting in the morning, you sleep. Instead of watching Netflix and watching browsing internet and Instagram and all that. What can you give up? What can you give up? Can you give up some of the holidays you've planned to sow the seed? Can you give up some time you spend to do other things? Even some time you spend with your family, can you give it up? That's what Jesus meant when he said, if you give mother, give father, give children, he said the time you spend with them, some of you might need to give it up to serve. Does somebody get what I'm saying? So commitment answers the question, how much can you give? Number 5. Connection. Connection. Connection answers the questions, how well do I relate the dream and how well do I relate with the people? Well, let me say it this way. How well do I relate to dream and how well do I relate with the dream team? Connection. How well do I relate with how well do I relate the dream, and how well do I relate with the dream team? I'll say that again. How well do I relate the dream? That's communicating the dream. And how well do I relate with the dream team? Without connection, you can't actually get the dream to work. You can't bring the vision to pass. You must be able to connect with the people you are trying to influence. Remember, leadership is influencing people to achieve a worthwhile dream. If you can't connect with those people, you can't influence them. Can you connect with people? Can you connect with people? Some leaders would have been great leaders if they knew how to connect. Nigeria's problem largely is not because Nigerians are not intelligent. It's not because Nigerians are not sacrificial. We are very intelligent, we're sacrificial. We are even orderly. We are orderly. We've not just had leaders that could connect. Because these same Nigerians, when we travel, we obey all the rules, we do everything right. And we achieve a lot. There was 1 week I was watching CNN, all the people that they were showing from around the world that were in, doing something very important were all Nigerians. I don't know whether they did it intentionally, but I noticed it. Running top things in top organizations, we all had Nigerian names. So we are achievers. We've not just had people that connect. Most times when you see, when they bring government policy in Nigeria, one of the first things you notice is that there's a disconnection between the reality of human beings and that policy. When coronavirus started, do you know what our airport first did? They say you must get yellow fever card to travel. You don't know. They say yellow fever, you know yellow fever card? They say, no! That's their own reaction. No! Everybody! Go and get yellow fever card. Coronavirus. Yellow fever. What are we talking? That's exactly our problem here. Disconnection. You're not connected with what the people are talking about, what they are going through, what they are facing. No connection. You can't influence people you're not connected with. Very important. You might have a great vision. You must connect with where those people are and what they are going through. Somebody get what I'm saying? You must connect. If you can't connect, you can't influence. That's a large thing. If you hear the things, every time you watch, you hear something, the Senate has passed a bill. I've not, up to tomorrow, I've not heard one bill that affects human beings. You hear generator, don't, I mean, they don't know what we're talking about. They have no clue. Not connected. So our social media bills, those are our problems. So there's a lack of connection. You will see it there. Total lack of connection. You can't influence people you don't connect with. And once you connect with people, you can literally influence them to do anything. All great leaders connect with the people. Connect. People that stress you in your department, you've not made a connection to them. You've not found out why they stress you. There's a reason they stress you. Most human beings behave in a certain way for a reason. So it's either you find out what it is, or they will keep stressing you. Most people are struggling for either love or attention, or they are reacting based on something that's happened to them in their past. You have to be patient enough to connect with them. If you don't connect with them, they'll just be giving you that reaction. You don't know why. There's a reason. Nobody's rebellious for nothing. Nobody's troublesome for nothing. Some of them, they are dealing with struggles. You need to find out. Some of them are unhappy with their own lives. They can never be happy with you. And you think it's you. You make it about you. Why don't they like you? It's not about you. The person is unhappy. You are just caught in the crossfire of their own unhappiness. Somebody get what I'm saying? Okay, you're sleepy. Go and stand at the back. If you're sleepy, go and stand at the back. The guy has been fighting a war but the sleep has been winning. From my own observation, the sleep, now they win. The guy, they tried. They look at it, even pray from my heart. But he didn't work. The sleep, days I'm slap. He sleeps straight. He sleeps straight. He has been battling it since. They fight, you know. The way Jacob fought Angel, and that's how they fight. They battle. Sleep just nod them. It's a sleep when they do you. So he gave up. He gave up the ghost. So he just goes. If you don't see sleep, you catch. You use the opportunity of us to laugh. Just stand up. Just stand up before I call your name. Just laugh. Stand. Go stand for back. JJ. in the Bible, there's one guy that was on the window and they were preaching like this. And he fell down and died. Paul raised him up, but Paul is not here. You die. You just go and be. Go and take our prayer points direct to heaven. Put it in. Praise God. You must connect. Connect with the people. Praise God. Connect with them. Connect with them. You must connect. Don't be too much into yourself. Many people sometimes are so much into their own thing. Yes, you have a vision that is burning your heart, but the people you are talking to, they don't have, that's not their vision. Do you understand? They don't care about the vision. So you must connect with them before they can care about the vision. Most of us assume that because this vision is burning my heart, it must burn in your heart. No. No, not at all. Yes, you're the one carrying your vision. Let it be born inside you. Born, they go. You must connect with them. Then they can connect with the vision. If not, only you go to born. I don't know if you're learning what I'm saying. Yes, the vision is important. Yes, it's born in your heart. How do I get more people to be at the same level that I am in the vision? You have to connect with where they are. So, for instance, if we're talking about building projects in church, for instance, one of the things, I'm going to use mainland example. One of the first things we're going to do on the new site is to build children's church. Or talk about children's church. We're going to connect with parents with what concerns them. Because you have a bigger picture, but people are not like that. Do you understand? As a pastor, most church members, I know that most members, they're not interested in the large church. Now, pastor, get that vision. Most members just want, all of us, we know ourselves. We're family. We love ourselves. My bad dead boy knows. If this church grows more than 10,000 now, I need to feed from to see pastor. So it doesn't favor me. Pastor come and say, we want to be doing 30 services every Sunday. That's only pastor that likes it. The choir don't want to be in church singing for 3 services. Yari, where's Yari? He has gone. Chichi, am I correct? Where's Chichi? Yeah, I'm correct, Abi. Yes, she agreed that one quickly. Gide, am I correct? I want to be doing 5 services. The choir don't like that. The ushers don't like that. It's only pastor that likes that. Every person is tired. Traffic don't like that. Don't want to be in traffic for 5 hours. 5 services. And if you get what I'm saying. So if you don't connect that vision of 5 services to something in their own life, you're on your own. They say, be going to your 5 services. You're looking for who to key. You're looking for who you want to key. And that's what mainly doesn't effective. They're just sharing dreams that doesn't nobody connects with. You must connect. Connect with people where they are. What concerns them? If you don't connect what concerns them, they can't be concerned with the vision. Jesus was a master at doing that. How do I relate the vision? How do I relate with the dream team, with the people that I want to help with the vision? So the first thing Jesus did when he met Peter, after he took Peter's boat, he didn't ask him for too much first. Just said, borrow me your boat. You're not even using it right now anyway. You're back from fishing. Borrow me your boat. Peter grudgingly gave him the boat. He said, look, we've told all night. Things are tough here. Just use the boat quick. I beg. Jesus used the boat, but you notice he didn't just use the boat and go. He said, this man has been looking for fish all night. How can I help him achieve his own dream? So he said, you know what, Peter? Cast your net into the other side. Let me help you with your own dream first. And Peter cast the net and caught many fish and was excited. That's when he could listen. You couldn't have shared, follow me and I'll make you, without first giving him fish. He won't listen. He said, you that don't have any fish, I should follow you to where? My brother, leave this thing. We're all trying to survive. Because that's how most people are living. You have to challenge them to live beyond themselves. If you don't challenge them to do that, they will just live for themselves. Most people are satisfied living for them. And they are proud about it. We are just all living for ourselves. Now, waiting with the job, we'll be fine. You don't have those kind of slangs. As a Christian, that must never be the reason you are alive. It's a shame. But that's what you are living for. Dang it, see the fine on you. Really? Really? That's what you are thinking? If he has 100 billion, when he dies, what will happen? Who cares? Life is not about what you accumulate. I don't know if somebody's getting what I'm saying. But these are the predominant mindsets of the average person. You need to know what they are thinking and know where to connect with them on that thinking. Jesus was a master of it. After he gave the guy fish, he also spoke the guy's language and said, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. He spoke in language the guy would understand. And the Bible said Peter dropped everything, left his father. His father was there. They both left their father with the fishing business. Before that time, that was their lifelong dream. That issue of, it's in Luke that they mentioned that they left their father, if you want to find that. You know? It was a lifelong thing. If you know anything about Jews, Jews don't look for jobs. They follow, the family business. So it was a family thing. I don't even know if it's Zebedee one that started it. It might have been other people that started it and left it to Peter's father. Then Peter's father was preparing to leave it for Peter. And one man came and connected with him and said, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. Did you bring it up? Why did you remove the scripture? And the Bible said this. I want the one you said in Luke. I thought you just put it up now. Wow. Is where. So, basically, the point is connect with people. So, Jesus was a master of that. If you notice also, when Jesus went to meet that woman by the well, he had to connect with her. He said, give me water to drink. You know? He said, give me water to drink. And the woman said, you know, why are you asking for water, blah, blah, blah. And he asked the woman, he said, who is your husband? He said, go and call your husband. He threw that out of the blues. That was not part of the conversation. But he had to, that woman had an emotional challenge. That was her challenge. Men was her only issue. And Jesus was not trying to say, don't follow men. He used that to open her heart. He said, go and call your husband. Go and call your husband. He connected with her where it mattered to her. People will listen to you if you talk to them in the area that matters to them. They will listen. Anything else you're saying doesn't concern them. Talk about them. Go and call your husband. She said, I have no husband. He said, you are correct. Because the man you are witnessing is not your husband. He said, you have had five husbands. So she had an emotional emptiness that nothing else could fill. And Jesus was trying to show her that really what you want is not a husband. What you want is a mission and a vision bigger than any man. And she became an evangelist. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? She bought into the vision immediately. So connect. Connect with your people. When you meet your people, connect with them. Share the vision in a way that they will relate. So most of you that are in either teenage church, they share the same core values we have as a church, but they share it in a way young people. Is Maya Wa or anybody here? Maya Wa is not here. Serano, you remember your core values? Come and tell us. Come. Who knows the core values of DCC? Core values of DCC. Tell me, somebody. Just throw it. Real life, right living, results. Reaching out, okay? That's our cover list, just in case you don't know. Now, but the teens church, they had to say their own in a way that their own young people can connect with it. Where children's church, get ready. Who is here for children's church? Is Shade here? Shade is upstairs. Will you come and say it yourself? Or you don't? If you have somebody you can send down here, fine. If you want to come, come. Who? Let her be coming, Jerry. I like to be disturbing Shade. Serano, yeah?
Okay, so our cover list is the acronym SLAYS. S-L-A-Y-S. Slays. A giant slayer. Slays. So S stands for spreads Jesus. S stands for spreads Jesus. L stands for lives right. A stands for is authentic. Y stands for is yielded. The last S stands for slays giants. So we derived it from the church's core values and tweaked it to suit our own teenagers.
All right. Amen. So, you see what I'm saying? Once you understand the vision, you can adapt it. So, they're able to bring it in a way that it can relate to teenagers. Slay. Teenagers know slay. It's a language they use. So, they could play with that. Spreads Jesus. What's the L? Lives right. A is what? Authentic. Being authentic. That's our own real life. Y is what? Yielded. S is what? Slays giants, results. Do you understand? So that's the point. You must connect. I also like the one for children's church.
Okay, children's church people. Okay, so I'll just say the one for the younger ones. We have for younger kids and for older ones. One, two, three, go. Love God. Love people. Be the best. Have fun.
Wait now, you can't even go. This thing can just come and dazzle us and be going like that. Wait here, you're under arrest. But are you guys seeing the point? I wasn't there when they had this meeting. I'm just seeing it for the first time. I've been hearing about it. Are you getting the point? When you understand what we are trying to do, when you go to your space, you will do it well. And we will all be proud when we hear it. So she didn't just go and tell those young children, results, real life. Those kids will understand that. They won't understand that. So they have to do it in a way that kids can relate. Do it again. Teach all of our teachers. We're all your children now.
Okay. So love God, is reaching out in love. We know it, Abby. Okay. Okay. Love God is reaching out in love. God, love people. Be the best. Have fun. So, love God is doing the right thing. Because for little children, that is what loving God really means. That's what doing the right thing means. Then, loving people is reaching out in love. Be the best is results. Then, have fun is right, real life. Because for children, their own real life is parties, having fun. So okay. All right. 1, 2, 3, go. Love God. Love people. Be the best. Have fun.
Please give us a caprizone. Come. You think you just use us like this and leave us to go? Bring share caprizone for everybody. They say on your way out, you collect your caprizone. So what's the one for the older kids?
Do the right thing. No, sorry. I'm trying to think. Do the right thing. Be the best. That one, we're trying to do a wrap on that one so that it's easy to remember as well. Do the right thing. Love God. Keeping it real. Keeping it real is real life. For because at that age, for our pre-teenagers, they are still, you know, testing a lot of things. They are trying to code. They don't want to, like, for instance, if they come from homes maybe where they don't have, for instance, maybe I don't have a PlayStation, for instance, and my friends, they do. Or I don't have DSTV subscription, and my friends do. You know, so I may come to church trying to form. So even the symbol for that thing has a mask that they are off. So at that age, we're saying, keep your mask off. Just keep it real. However you are, God loves you that way. So keeping it real, do the right thing, be the best, and loving. Sorry? Love in action, yes. I hope it's love, yeah. Love in action. So we're trying to do that one in a rap because we know that that age, they will be able to relate with that one. So for the younger children, it's in song. But for that one, so it's a bit boring for now. But when we get the rap, I'm sure it will be nicer.
Thank you, Pastor Shadi. Our caprizone. Cold though, let it be cold, please. Praise God. But do you see how connection works? Even you now, you've connected what they were doing since. All those things are intentional. That's our connection. If people don't connect what you're doing, you might just have a great vision. Nobody connects with it. Nobody cares. Until they connect with it, they won't care. You might have a noble vision, a great vision, but nobody cares. Your job as a leader is to get people to care about what you're trying to achieve. You must connect with them. So great leaders, we always connect. So if you notice, if you watch politicians, I mean the ones abroad, Nigeria, we don't really do politics, we just bribe. But if you, just pay money. But if ones abroad, if you notice them, they try to connect with people. So they'll bring an elderly woman, they'll say, oh, this is what, they'll bring a black person and say, this is the minority guy, but now he has a job. They must connect, because they know that many people that are in that stage, when they see somebody like them, they can relate. Do you understand, guys? So you must make a connection with your people. What are they going through? Say, nobody came, nobody supporting me. You need to go to them, find out where they are. That's what Jesus always did. He went to people, found out where they are, then he can bring them up to where he wants them to be. But you must get to where they are. What is their concern? What's disturbing them? What's going on in their own mind? It's what's going on in their mind that you use to change their mind. What's going on? What are they thinking? What are they worried about? Praise God. How well do you communicate the vision? For those of you that are in the department, you must keep sharing the vision regularly so that people can understand it. Carry them along what's going on in the department or group. Carry them along what's going on in church. So you as a leader, also in house, when the whole house is doing something, show them by demonstration how they should also be buying into it. That way, by the time you want them to buy into a vision of the department, it's easy because you have taught them the power of buying in. Who must buy into what church is doing. Oh, church is doing a project, you must buy in. Not that you are running your department as if it's a separate church from the whole church. There are some people that do that. Say, we have our own project. No, your own project cannot be bigger than the project of the church. You are existing because of that vision of the church. Do we understand, guys? Let me try and close. Number 6. Answers is cooperation. 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 He answers the question, how well do I involve others? How well do I involve others? Because you can't do it alone. You have to involve them.
cooperation is to co-opt. To co-opt, to get people inside the vision, to work with you. So how well do I do that? There are three things to involving people. Number one is to discover their strengths. Number two is to develop those strengths. Number three is to deploy those strengths. If a group is going to work well and a dream is going to come to pass, you must have the gift or the ability to co-opt people. That means you must discover what are people's strengths. In every group, people have different strengths. Pastor M talked a bit about that yesterday. All temperaments are needed in a department. All temperaments. Some are the fun people. Some are the detailed and artistic people. Some are the drivers. And some are the stable people. All the temperaments. The four temperaments we did in university. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Four are needed. So, are you discovering people? As a leader, whenever people gather, your first assignment is to be looking out for what they can do well. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Pastor M talked a bit about that yesterday. In every group, there are those that what they can contribute is money. They are important to the group. Some people in the group, what they can contribute is stability. If we continue doing this thing, even when all of us are tired, these people, they are always there. They don't care. Nothing disturbs them. Rain, shine, traffic, anything, they're stable. Some of that people are the beauty. They're into the beauty. So our dressing in that department, we should hand it over to this person. The person is good with beauty. Somebody get what I'm saying? Some are good with logistics. So find what strengths your people have. As a leader, your ability to bring in cooperation from everybody matters. Involve people. You need people who are the greatest assets in this life. So get people involved. The people that bring in each skill. Every skill is important. As a pastor, my biggest job is to know who and who I should assign to what that will make it work. And you will constantly keep changing it, constantly keep getting better at it. Putting the right person in the right role gives you success. You can see the pastor of the children's church. I mean, she's amazing. She's just amazing. She and her team. Before this time, we've had many people run it, but it wasn't this great. It wasn't this great. So you must keep changing. And that's why, as a leader, if you're afraid of changing people, you won't be effective because you want to please everybody. You're not ice cream. You can't keep pleasing everybody. So in a loving way, let people know that we must keep changing things until we get the right result. Same thing with the teenage church. Same thing with some other things we've done like that. When a better person gets there, it shows. Inform people. Then lastly, let me close. And I'll take a few questions then. I won't even have time to talk about the culture as I thought. Number seven, I'll just run through it quickly too. Number seven on this one is consistency. Consistency. Answers the question, how long can I do this? How long can I do this? Consistency. In corporation, Jesus was great at it. He gave people different assignments. Do you know that Jesus had Kedar in his leadership team? He didn't only have 12 disciples, so he had many disciples, in case you don't know. He never had 12 disciples, he had many disciples. He just had the core team of 12. That's what happened. And in the core team of 12, he had another core team of 3. So you always see Peter, James, and John in some special meetings. Somebody get what I'm saying? So he was great at knowing what to do. And he knew that, hey, we have a thief in our midst. Who is the best person to run the money? A thief. He'll be too scared that all eyes are on him. He'll be too scared that, he can't steal from himself. It will be that he ate the money, not that he got missing. Do you understand? If I give Peter the money, Judas will go and steal it from Peter. We will not ask Judas, we will ask Peter, what happened to this money? He will say, I don't know. We'll be looking at him about that. You're either careless or you're the one eating the money. Judas will walk in free. But if you give Judas, who will Judas steal the money from? Himself. Means he's eating it. So Jesus was a master at cooperation. He put the right person where he should put him. Peter was the right person to put. He didn't even put him in leadership. Peter took leadership. Oh, one that always talks first, even when he doesn't know what he's saying. Led the team. So deploy people right. Very important. Then consistency. How long can I do this? For you to really be a strong leader, you have to be consistent. Most people don't have stamina to last.
Lasting is important. Being consistent is important. You must keep doing it, doing it, doing it, and doing it well. How long can I do this thing and continue doing it well? Not just that I've done it for so long and you are dragging leg and you are demoralized and you are making everybody tired. Do it with excitement. Continuously. Do you know Jesus is still doing what he was doing when he came here? The Bible says he's still at the right hand now interceding for us. Can you imagine? He's still consistent. Same thing he came to do, he's still doing it. He came to stand in a gap for us when he came on the earth, and he's still standing in the gap for us today. He says he's interceding. They say he's a priest forever. Do you understand? If he hasn't gotten tired, why are you tired? You've only done 5 years. You've only done 10 years. He has done millions of years and still standing strong for you. Interceding. Consistent. I've done the job for 20-something years now. Consistent. And you keep improving, or you keep getting better and better. You keep the momentum going. You are instant in season and out of season. You keep going and going and going. Don't get tired. Some days you won't feel like you keep going. Some days you don't want to. You keep going in spite of how you feel. People appreciate you. You keep going. People don't appreciate you, but you keep going. Some days you get great outcome. You keep going. Some days you get a bad outcome, but you keep going. Somebody get what I'm saying? Nobody gets it right all the time. But we must remain consistent. Hallelujah. All right. I'll run through a few cultures that I think are important in 10 minutes. Then we'll take a few questions and we'll close. A few things you need to note, guys. If you're going to work together as a team, you must understand the culture of our church. One of the things we pay attention to, we value as a team, is spiritual authority. Spiritual authority. Because we live in a rebellious age, many people want to bring that into the church. We're an army. It's important you honor and respect the people put ahead of you. They won't be perfect. I don't know why sometimes it's difficult for people to understand these things. They won't be perfect. There is no perfect leader anywhere in the world. There is no perfect leader anywhere in what? The world. Human. See, that's why we did the study on temperaments. Human beings come in certain packages. If you are very driven, if somebody is very goal-oriented, they won't usually be very great at being people-oriented. If somebody is very people-oriented, he won't be as great as being goal-oriented. You can't have the two just all stocked up in one that well. If somebody is great with dreaming, they might not be great with details. Because the makeup it takes to be great with dreaming, it removes the things that will make you great in details. I don't know if you're getting what I'm saying. So there won't be any perfect leader. So just go and rest. So to be saying things like, oh, my leader is not perfect. Welcome to the club. That's how we work. But you're still going to give your perfect work, give your perfect submission there, pending as that guy too is growing, because all of us are work in progress. Spiritual authority is important. Every time you disobey and disrespect anybody ahead of you in church, in leadership, you are disrespecting me as the senior pastor that put the person there, and you are disrespecting God that put me to here. God doesn't play with spiritual rebellion. Go and check anywhere in scripture. Don't let all these people on the internet telling you rubbish. Oh. Go and check anywhere in the Bible where people messed up with spiritual authority. Go and check the outcome, whether it ended well. It never ends well. So spiritual authority matters. How you treat those ahead of you. Then understand your reporting lines. If you're in a department and something is wrong, the first person to talk to is your HOD. If he can't solve it or he's the problem, there's always a minister or a pastor or a shepherd or whatever in charge of that department. So don't sidetrack that person and come and talk to me. Even though you have a relationship with me. You are breaking the ranks. And you're also stressing me. There's somebody in charge there that knows better. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? So they have made all these things, systems there for it to work. Don't stress it out. Follow the order. You must have a HOD. After the HOD, there's a shepherd. After the shepherd, there's a minister or a pastor. There are many, you know, cadres of leadership that you can talk to. And they will listen to you and attend to you. So spiritual authority is very important. Following reporting lines is important. Following reporting lines is important. I'll just mention two more because I don't have time. Another thing we like here is excellence. and innovation. You saw Children's Church. See, there are some people that really represent our spirit as a church. That Children's Church is one of it. That Pastor Shade is one of it. I'm calling her pastor today. I hope she's aware. I hope she's noticing. Because she likes to deny the truth. Yes, she's a church now. She's the pastor of the church because it's a church, Children's Church. But that is the kind of spirit I want to see in every group and department. By the time I even come to your department, I should be impressed. If you are doing the thing the way I would do it, I will not be impressed. You must do it better than I would do it. That's why you are there. If you are doing it like me, then you have no use being there. You are just duplicating what I would do. You should do it better than me. Every time I come in contact with them, you can see the small, ordinary small core values. They've turned it to clap and jump and have fun and everything. Because they're able to relate it. They're able to innovate. How much innovation are you putting in the department you are running? How much creativity? Are you stepping it up from how it was given to you, or are you bringing it down from how it was given to you? What are you putting into it? Are you doing it the same way it has been done since 1980? Is how you are still doing it till now? We love innovation. We love innovation. If you have been here long enough, you will know that we like innovation. Most things we do, if you check from everything we do, as a matter of fact, our title series are not normal church title series. Am I correct? So you will hear university. You will hear Out of Eden. You will hear many other interesting things we do. Because I hate normal. I hate boring. Is somebody get what I'm saying? I hate normal and boring. That's why our messages online cuts across more people socially. Because we do not in normal church preaching. Or at least in a normal way that a church person will preach it. Because I'm not only sent to people in church, we're actually sent to the world. We must not understand the language they will understand. That's how Jesus was. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? So you must innovate. You must innovate. So see the children's church. See how they did it. See teenage church too. They are innovating. You can't just come and do this boring thing in this church. Continue the way it's done 1980. No, you must tweak it. You must change it. See the way we do our question and answers. Little, this thing you are doing that is common. I go to most churches to preach. They still do write on paper. In most churches. And asked by Mike. There are many people that have questions to ask. They can never ask because they don't want their identity to be known. So we do Slido. You can ask. Nobody knows you. That's innovation. That's what we're thinking. Those of you that have been to any of our breakout sessions now, most time we use those earphone things. That's our spirit. We like something if it can be better. We must find it. Not the same way. This is how we've done in 1980. Write your question. Line up. 10 of you want to ask questions. Line here. If you are still operating like that, then you don't have the spirit of our house. There's a way we do our things. And you see, it's a matter of time we will identify you that you are lagging behind and we'll look for somebody else that can do it. We will know that you're not catching. You don't understand what we're doing. You don't want to grow. You don't want to grow. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Stay innovative. Excellence. Can it be better? How is it being done everywhere? Or what are the new trends in this thing? Let's get better. Let's innovate. Then lastly, sacrifice. There are many cultures. I don't have time to go into them today because of time, but we'll do that some other time. But sacrifice is major for us. This gospel will not last if we enter convenience. That's what happened to some of those churches you see in the UK and co. Convenience. Convenience. We're not here for convenience, guys. At all. Sacrifice is crucial. We're doing projects. You want to be happy to give. Happy. You don't understand. Something else will eat your money. Look, something else will eat it. The question is at the end of your life, by the time you do a correlation of all the things that eat your money, you find that there are not many of them that will be important. They looked important at the time. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. How many of you have some clothes you wanted to buy? It seems so important, but today you've bought it and you can't even remember it. But that time your body was doing one kind. Do you remember what I'm saying? So I'm not afraid to ask you to give. Somebody else is going to take that money from you. And I can bet it can't be as important as giving it to the Lord. So don't be afraid to make sacrifices. Don't get tired of it. It's what we do. It's a great way to spend your life. And you as the leader must take the lead in that regard. Hallelujah. We're not done with the project for the mainland. We still need to complete it. So don't get tired. Don't get No. You can't outgive God. You can never outgive God. It's what he even gave you that you're giving from. Not that you went to print the money by yourself. It's what he first gave you that you're giving from. So don't shout. Relax. Hallelujah. All right. Were you blessed today? All right. 5 questions quickly. Or 10, anyone.
Good morning, Pastor K.
We know you've been blessed by this message. To order a copy of this message or any of our messages, you can call us on 080-777-14411 or 080-777-14412. Or you can visit our website on www.davidschristiancenter.org. David's Christian Center, home of victorious people.